I'd ask you to take your scriptures and turn with me in the Old Testament to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. I want to begin reading the first verse and read through this chapter. Psalm chapter 12, to the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord, will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. Amen. We'll end the reading of God's Word there. With that Word opened, let us see God's face as we would come to consider this text this morning. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word, which is pure. Very pure. Seven times, so that there's no dross, there's no impurity. There's not a speck of anything but silver. We thank Thee, Lord, then we come to Thy Word. We're not coming to a partial Word of God. We open our Bibles. We're not reading partly Thy Word, mixed with fables and myths, man's opinions. But Lord, we are reading the pure Word of God. Oh, we pray that it might be our encouragement today. Lord, we might be instructed by it and directed unto the great center of this book, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we need divine help to preach and to hear, yea, to profit. Lord, grant us the exercise of our faith, that the things which we hear may indeed benefit us, being mixed with faith. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. David here in Psalm 12 is speaking of his own time. He's speaking of a time really, we would probably say, is one of the best times, one of the best eras of Israel's history as a nation. Much of the Psalter was written then. Many of these psalms are called by the name of David. Even some of the ones that have no names, the New Testament assigns David as the author. How often do we come for comfort, instruction, and help to the psalms? But also, you think of the books of the Kings and Chronicles. How often do we read that they were either like their father David, and they served God with a full heart, or they were not like David, their father, and the kings went away from the Lord and did not serve Him with a perfect heart. So David is writing in the times of great history as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. And yet he has this cry, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful man from among the children, if his faithful fail from among the children of men." David is asking for help, or as your margin says, to save. Be our Savior, be our Deliverer in this time. This could have been written when David was out of favor with Saul. It's possible. And yet these are the ones that later, these men that followed Saul, put David upon the throne. But he's looking at his own times. And he is crying out to the Lord. The times he's speaking of are men that are speaking vanity, verse 2. They have flattering lips, a double heart they speak. They're very proud and boastful. They think that with their tongues, with their speech, they may prevail and none can stop them. None can bring them to account. There's no Lord, no master to say, "What doest thou?" You know, for the worldling, that's not a bad time necessarily, is it? Unless they're on the receiving end, but the worldly man would probably think that the times when the economy's bad, the money's slow, when you know, the business is going under, the trade is kind of pulled back, the pleasures aren't as readily accessible, that's a bad time. It's a bad time. The Bible, on the other hand, speaks of a bad time when iniquity abounds in a society, when these flattering lips are everywhere, where there's deceit, there's violence. You think of how Paul speaks to us of this very similar fact in 2 Timothy 3. He says to us, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." He doesn't list here bad economies or even wars, or the lack of pleasures and opulence. But he lists this: "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That is today, isn't it? That is today. I was reading about a brief article of a country music star, and one she never had children, so they asked her why. And she said, "Well, I guess because I'm just too much absorbed with my own self." I thought, well, you couldn't set it hardly any clearer. It's almost an exact quotation of Paul's statement here. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. But he goes on, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. We don't have to go very far for that, do we? Not that there's needs to be sinless perfection in a society, but when we see it just advertised, laughed at, expected, and never corrected, never mourned over. Sad days. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And how we have that today. How we have that today. All these things. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. I mentioned that men are not worried that the gospel is going under. They're worried they can't get to their pleasures. God gets in the way. Providence refuses to let them have their say and let them have their experiences. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Religion is not gone. There's a form of godliness, but there's no power. There's no reality. That is perilous times. That are bad times. That are the times in which iniquity abounds. And Christ says in those kind of times, what? The love of many shall wax cold. Shall wax cold. Christ speaks to the Laodiceans, remember? His own dear people, the church, the Laodiceans. It says they're neither cold nor hot. They need to come back to their first love. And David is saying here, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail among the children of men. This is the time to cry to God. This word ceaseth, but the godly man ceaseth. Speaks of a state of things. Godly men are ceasing. It's a quality, but particularly here, a state, a condition. And it seems the godly men are going away, they're coming to an end, as the word is translated in Psalm 7, or they're failing, as is translated in Psalm 77. They're ceasing. Well, some cease, of course, by death. Some perhaps cease because of weakness. But they're failing. They're ceasing. They're going away. They're coming to that end, to their influence or to their presence. Of course, their influence can go with their presence. And for the godly, the presence of other godly is a help to them. It's an encouragement, at least, to see another one going on in the faith. They're called the godly man here. It's the same word you see many times translated loving kindness and mercy. So here it is a man that has received this mercy, this loving kindness, and is exercising it. That'd be the idea here. So it's a godly man, or you could just say very literally a merciful man. He's exercising the grace or the mercy, or the loving kindness that he has received. You go on down to the faithful. The word faithful. It has that idea of supporting or staying something. The noun is translated, it really, if you just say transliterated, amen. That's the word, amen. You see in Psalm 41 and verse 13, it says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. And then you notice, amen and amen. That's the noun form, just the letters put in for English letters right here in your text. Truly, faithful, confirm. That's the idea here. So a man that is exercising faithfulness, he's sure, he's trusty. The godly, the faithful, is failing. Is failing. It's the only time this word is used in the Old Testament, but it simply has the idea of ceasing. Failing. to come to the extremity, such as a hand or something, and that's the end of it. Right? There's nothing further than your hand on your arm. So it fails, it ends. This verb here, the fail. Tells us that it's a completed action. It's represented as something that's already done. Even though it may be continuing, maybe in future. But again, the faithful do fail. It's almost a statement of not fatalism, but of that which is to be expected. The faithful will fail from among the children of men. We don't know exactly who David was speaking of here. He obviously had some in mind. We don't know if they were his kinfolk that he knew well from Bethlehem. We don't know if they were some of the prophets or priests that are not mentioned in the Old Testament that were around in the times of Samuel. We do not know. It does not specify names or even offices for that matter. But David is crying out for help in this situation. And again, as I said earlier when we sang the psalm, my mind usually, I'd say always, probably does, but when godly men fail, when they are taken away, now Isaiah tells us that the godly are taken away many times because they're being removed from the judgment that's coming. I thought of this when John Robbins died. Another godly man taken from us. That was a great instrument for the truth. But more recently, Dr. Paisley, he is, we must remember, just a man. Just as Mr. Robbins. Of course, Mr. Raymond was not too long ago either. And there's many, many we could mention. They are just men. And yet we feel the loss when we've been blessed by them, when they've been encouraged, we've been strengthened, we've been taught by them. We've seen them hold the standard against overwhelming odds. The men I've mentioned, those three, have all done that. And yet they're taken away. And we mourn their loss because it seems many times when men like that are taken that there's a huge hole left. Who's going to fill the gap? It seems that none other persons were taking such a large stab, if you will, at the enemy. Or drawing in so many to Christ by their preaching. But we feel those losses. We feel that the help that God did give through certain men is gone. They have ceased. They fail. They have gone away from us children of men. Oh, they were not men that were perfect. Paisley is not perfect. He's a sinful man. Like we are. And there have been and there will be, I'm sure, especially now, concentrated efforts to magnify all of his faults, which I'm sure he would have not have denied he had faults. David, the man after God's own heart, had faults. Do we approve of David's fault? No, we cannot. Can we approve our own? We can't. Can I approve of those who would be in Dr. Paisley either? But we want to be also far from that spirit that Paul tells us that characterized the perilous times, that they don't love good men. We must say Dr. Paisley was a good man. But again, he was just a man. And we see the loss of these good, godly, faithful men. What are we to do? To run and hide? To give up the faith? No. We are to cry to the Lord. or to cry to the Lord. Who made Mr. Paisley, or Mr. Robbins, or Mr. Raymond, or Mr. Machen, or Mr. Calvin, or whoever you want to put in there, faithful? Well, it wasn't themselves. Because you see, these are men, it says the godly, but remember we said it's that word loving kindness. It's that word mercy. Those are men that had received mercy. They were not men that deserved mercy. Mercy is not deserved. Loving kindness is not shown where it is bought or merited. It is freely given. These men had it freely given to them. How is any man held up to be faithful, to be trusty, to be, as it were, the amen man or woman to the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ? It is by the Spirit of God alone that we are upheld. Over in Psalm 146, we should remember this when we think of Psalm 12 in verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." And then notice, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." And then it gives an enumeration of some of the mighty acts of the Lord, of making the heavens and the earth, executing judgment for the oppressed and giving food to the hungry, loosing the prisoners, opening blind eyes, raising them that are bowed down, and loving the righteous, preserving strangers, relieving the fatherless and widow. The way of the wicked he turneth upside down. I say men, however helpful they may have been, were only helpful because they're an instrument of the hand of God. While we may feel as David, that the godly are ceasing, that they're going away, let us remember that no matter how great they were, their thoughts perish in the day that they die. Their help that they may have been to us is gone. It has ceased. With their life it has failed. Their breath goeth forth, returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. In fact, the Lord is so concerned that we trust not in men. He says there, in whom there is no help. And the word of salvation, if memory serves me correct, the exact same word we have here. David says, "Help, Lord." There's no saving help in man, but there is in me, says the Lord. Put not your trust then in men. David then is seeking the place of happiness. He has seen that men have failed, they have died, they have gone away from among the children of men. So what is he doing? He's asking the Lord for help. For help. That is where the psalmist said is happiness. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Brethren, the God of Jacob is who David is seeking here. Again, a great patriarch of the faith. But again, if you read his life, and I'm sure you have, a man beset with sins, with difficulties, with afflictions. Some brought upon by himself, others not. Remember he said, when he came to Pharaoh, "Few and evil have been my days, and I have not attained unto the years of my fathers. He was a deceiver. He was a conniver. In great family troubles. Having two wives, really four wives, they gave their handmaids as well to him. Yet the God of heaven, who is pure and righteous, is not ashamed to be called the God of Jacob. And he says, even there for us to come unto him and to get help. And so David is doing that. He is saying, help, Lord. The Lord, the God of Jacob. You see, the world looks at the godly. They look at Jacob. Look at David. Look at Ian Paisley. Oh, these are wicked men. They don't call them wicked, but they say they're terrible. They've got, look at that. David committed adultery. Jacob, you know, he's conniving and stealing from his brother. He's got four wives. His kids are trying to kill each other. These are just terrible people. On down the list it goes. So they're glad when they die. Good riddance, they said of these. But David, we feel the loss of our brethren in the cause of Christ. We need to remember that our help was in the Lord. Our help was in the Paul, the great apostle. Those days when the Spirit of God was blessing the preaching of the Word. Remember, he was before various governors in court places to give an account for his preaching, for his supposedly disturbing the peace and all these things. What did he say? He said, all men forsook me at one of his last hearings. Man didn't help him. But he said, the Lord stood with me. And he didn't hold it to them. He said that let not the Lord lay it to their charge. He knew that they were men, they were weak. But how often do we expect so much from men, whoever it may be? Let us expect from God the help that He has promised. Let us look unto Him and cry, help, Lord. It's not wrong to feel the loss. David here, you can feel him, as it were. He's mourning, he's groaning, he perhaps is at a loss even for strength to cry to God. The godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. He's discouraged. He's depressed. He may be even confused. Rutherford, one of the families from his church, was moving away from his parish. And he said that he had received many strokes, many blows in his ministry, but none was greater than that. His husband and wife were moving away. And it hurt him greatly. They weren't moving away because they didn't like Rutherford. They had to move either because of persecution or I think they were in the nobility. They may have had to move for that reason as well, I'm not sure, but they had to move out of his bounds, and he would have not, his fellowship would only be by letters then, instead of by face to face. But then he made this comment, I'm paraphrasing him, the Lord will not have any idols in his place. He will have us to depend upon Christ alone. And so he takes and rips off the idols from us. They were cast upon the Lord alone. Because Christ must have the preeminence. And sadly, we're so easy to trust in men, no matter how good they are. But it's not Christ. It is not the head of the church. It is not Him that said that in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. It is not Him that has said that come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Men. And so God many times, as it were, kicks the props out from under us, so we fall down we realize again, no, there is no help in man. There is no help in him. He has breath like I do. The only way he is good is because God has upheld him. Brethren, where are we trusting today? Where are we looking for help? Where are we looking for salvation? Whether it's salvation from sin, the church won't save you. The preacher won't save you. Great preachers, little preachers, none can save you. Only Christ. Christ says to come unto me. He does not say come unto the church. He does not say to come to the baptism, whether it's a font or a river. He doesn't say come take the Lord's Supper and you'll be saved. He doesn't say church attendance, not missing a Sunday, reading your Bible every day, being a part of a certain denomination. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, none that come to him, he will cast out. It is good that the apostles failed sometimes in their miracle-working powers. Remember the man that brought the son to the disciples and they couldn't cast out the demon. And then they brought him to Jesus. Brethren, it's hard as it is for us as ministers, we may fail to feed you sometimes. We may fail to help you as we wish we could. I'm sure the apostles were very discouraged. What happened? Why could we not help this man? Brethren, even in these things, let us remember, Christ will have the preeminence. We must bring ourselves, our troubles, the incurable cases, to Jesus Christ. No problem for him. Thank the Lord. Brethren, as much as we as preachers or ministers would hate to fail you, the Bible does say that men will fail through either ignorance or forgetfulness, inadvertence, mismanagement of things and things don't go right, or even because of our own sins. Christ can never fail. He can never fail. Jesus never fails. He doesn't cease. He is the resurrected living Christ. He speaks of himself as that one that is alive forevermore in Revelation. If you come to him, have you come to him? Have you known the forgiveness of sins by believing the simple gospel truth? That he died and was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, for our sins. So simple. Many times we want to try to explain it, not away, but explain it to be more complicated. Brethren, it's not complicated. The flesh wants it complicated. Because isn't there more to it? Don't I have to know more, do more, be more? No. You must simply receive the record, as John puts it, that God gave us of His Son. Have you done that? The best way to remember any godly man, Lloyd-Jones pointed this out about John Knox, but we'll point out about Ian Paisley, is not to put pictures up, nothing wrong with having a picture of a good man, but not to put pictures and statues up and all that sort of thing, but to follow on as he was in the faith to preach the same gospel, to point men to the same Christ, to oppose the same errors, to pray to the same God, to the same mediator, for the same glorious increase of His church. That is the way to honor truly a godly man, because it honors Christ. We should learn from these men. I'll take time to do that today, except to say that that is what Paisley preached, was the true Bible gospel. Again, I'll encourage you to listen to some of his sermons. Greatly bless your heart as they draw you off of yourself, out of your circumstances, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the all-sufficient Savior for sinners and saints. There is no better than our Lord Jesus. God will help us. He says in the latter part of the psalm, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Would we be preserved? Would we not fall into the same sins that are around us? Would we have our love not grow colder if it has to be rekindled? Let us cry for help. You see, how do the godly men cease if they become in the sense of weakness? Their influence goes away. Look at Samson. He sinned away his strength. And he cried again to God, did he not? Brother David may have been speaking more of those that had ceased breathing from among the children of men. Again, it doesn't say. But he could have had in mind too that those who were once good had ceased in the sense of sinning and being put on a shelf as Samson. Brethren, let us cleanse ourselves by crying out to Christ to cleanse the sin from our hearts and lives. If we feel like we're failing, if we're ceasing, if our love is growing cold and our first love is not so much in our zeal and our affections, if we feel like, remember we read about the Levites being in the middle with the tabernacle and all Israel camped around, as it were, looking toward that great central point. Perhaps on the edges of the camp, they were turning their faces and camping in a different way. Do we find ourselves that way? Our help is in the Lord. Our help is in the Lord. Christ says to those lukewarm Christians, repent. Come back to me. Buy of me. He doesn't say make yourselves better. It's tidy up your tents and turn them. Clean them out and then I'll receive you. No. He says, come buy of me the things you need. Buy the repentance. Get the eye salve to see Christ again in His beauty. Buy riches from Him. And what does Isaiah tell us? We buy from Christ for nothing. Without money, without price. Come and receive. So cry to Him today. Give you whatever help you may stand in need of. For our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we would seek to obey Christ's word. O Lord Jesus, we would have our souls rekindled with zeal for Christ, for Thee. We would have, O Savior, our eyes opened again to see Thy beauty, to see the need we have of Thee daily for cleansing, for joy, for happiness, for direction. Lord, we would need Thee to give us repentance, to turn from our wicked works, to turn, O God, from the things we have read in this psalm and in the passage where Paul speaks of the perilous times. Lord, we read those words and surely we have been guilty in some degree or in some fashion of these sins which characterize an evil and a perilous age. We need repentance and cleansing by the blood of the Lamb. We need help then to do the first works. Lord, when our zeal was hot, we did not blush to speak Thy name to others. We were not fearful to speak a good word for Jesus, to have our speech always seasoned with salt. Lord, how we fall so short. Lord, our godliness in ourselves, it seems to be ceasing, to coming to an end. But Lord Christ, we come unto Thee. As Lord, the woman who had the issue of blood, she had been used of doctors for many, many years, all with no help, no cure, no relieving of the real problem. And she just touched the hem of the garment of Christ, and she was healed. Lord, help us to get to Christ, to bear, to touch even the hem of His garment by faith, and we shall be healed. We shall be back, as it were, in the race, again, looking unto Him. We might run it with patience, being able to set aside the sin which so easily besets us. Father, answer these things abundantly, more than we could even ask or think. How often our thoughts are so small of Thee, and of Thy blessings, and Thy grace, and love in Christ toward us. Lord, do what we cannot do. Bless us where we cannot bless and help ourselves. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.